Hello and welcome to another episode of Brick House. I'm Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. Bob, we have a special treat today for the faithful Brick House listeners.
That's right, we do. We have an interview coming up with head coach of Texas A&M Commerce women's basketball team, Jason Burton. Thanks for listening on Dash Radio. If you're listening on the almighty baller station of Dash Radio, otherwise you find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, wherever you get your podcast. You can tweet us at Brick House Pod. If you like the show, leave a rating and review.
That'd be great.
Helps a lot. But I wanted to talk to you, Matt, about Boston Celtics-Washington Wizards series that's getting pretty heated. People are comparing it to the 90s style of basketball. And we had the first ever Kelly-on-Kelly fight in NBA history.
You know, it was bound to happen at some point. Yeah, there are just some things you don't abide by, and that's Kelly Olynyk getting pushed around, regardless of playoffs or not, Bob.
Is he dirty or just uncoordinated?
Yeah, that's, I guess, the whole crux of the matter. How many screens are actually don't have a little extra in them?
That is what they say, right? They're every screen in the NBA is an illegal screen.
According to Basketball Reference, Olynyk has 33 pounds on Oubre.
It's making it an interesting series to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, another big week in basketball news. The Big Three draft was last week. Ice Cube announced that the Big Three League is not going to be doing drug testing, Matt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, quote, Ice Cube is not going to drug test grown men.
Yeah.
With the number one pick in the draft, by the way, was Rashad McCants.
Love it.
This is turning out to be the best bad boy league. Sadly, Steve Francis, who was really excited about playing in the Big Three League, went undrafted.
Really? How? Is he too old? I'm looking at some of these guys, like Larry Hughes was drafted. He's kind of old. And Moochie Norris. Well,
Greg Oden announced he's going to be playing in the basketball tournament.
That's fantastic.
The OG summer tournament before Ice Cube showed up on the scene.
Yeah.
Also, some big news this week. Lonzo Ball's first ever shoe just dropped. Yeah. After being turned down by Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour, the Balls went ahead and launched a new shoe anyways, and for the low cost of only $495.
Yeah, the low, low cost. That's, I think, 30 pairs of Starbury shoes. Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about it before, but I'm convinced LeVar Ball is a marketing genius.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have everybody talking about the shoe you just launched? Don't charge $100. Don't charge $250 like LeBron.
Right.
Go all the way, $500.
You know, Bob, my favorite tweet, and I apologize if I'm potentially jumping in on diss of the week.
Oh, no. No worries.
LeVar Ball responding to the price of the big ballers. Did you see this?
Oh, what'd he say?
He tweeted, "Big ballers loose. If you can't afford the what is it, Zo2s?
Is it a two?
Yeah.
I guess he's number two.
Yeah, if you can't afford the Zo2s, you're not a big baller."
Oh, so man.
He dropped the hammer.
Man.
He's putting it out there.
I read that Nike offered Lonzo Ball a 5-year deal for $10 million.
Total.
$10 million total. That's
okay.
$2 million a year,
yeah.
Right? It was also reported that Big Baller Brand sold 4,000 pairs of shoes on their first day.
Whoa, okay.
I'm like David Fizdale. I'm not a math guy.
Yeah.
But I have a calculator on my phone.
Yeah.
4,000 shoes times $495, $1.98 million, Matt. Meaning he almost made the $2 million that Nike offered him on one day.
Wow.
Now, of course, you have to back out the $100 per pair of shoes because they're just buying Kobe's, and you have to back out, you know, the couple dollars for the black paint to put over the Kobe's.
Yeah.
But even then,
right,
you're still looking at about $1.5 million profit on the first day.
On the first day.
Oh, by the way, next week's episode of Brick House will be available on almightyballer.com for only $1,000.
Only $1,000.
We're going to get some huge press with that. Did you see this week that Luke Walton said that he's no longer worried about the draft because Magic Johnson has assured him they're getting a top three pick?
Yep.
If you missed last week's episode of the show, How to Rig the NBA Draft, we addressed this in detail. Can't say I was surprised by that headline.
Nope.
Speaking of rumors, in this Boston-Washington series in Game 1, Markieff Morris left the game with an ankle injury.
Right.
At game one, his brother, Marcus, was in attendance.
Yeah.
In the crowd. He was wearing a Markieff Morris Warriors or Wizards jersey.
Okay, I see where this is going.
Miraculously, Markieff was good to go for game two. No ankle injury.
Sure.
Or maybe, he played through it. You know who wasn't in attendance for game two?
Who's this?
Brother Marcus Morris.
Well, he probably had something more important to do, is what you're telling me.
A lot of people speculated that Marcus Morris subbed in to replace his brother Markieff Morris.
Oh, yeah, this would be great.
I didn't realize it, but these guys, they like looking alike, obviously, so much so that they have identical tattoos. Are you aware of this?
No.
They have sleeve tattoos, their chests are covered in tattoos, and they got the exact same tattoos. Just for a moment like this.
Oh, wow.
In fact, they have even admitted to having pulled this trick before.
Yeah.
So when the Twins were on the Suns and Markieff got suspended for a game, a reporter asked Markieff about the prospect of playing in Marcus's jersey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said it worked in the past. Quote, "We did it before in AAU ball," Markieff admitted in 2013. "The jersey switch was on the bench. It happened real quick. He had hurt his ankle, but I had fouled out. I gave them a little limp back in like I was hurt and kept playing."
Oh, nice.
So one player was hurt, one player was ineligible, and the ineligible one pretended to be hurt, and the hurt one sat. Fast forward to 2017, yeah. And we have the exact same situation.
You got to figure that if there's a chance to do it, they would jump at it. We talked about on this podcast, the Van Arsdale brothers did that for the Suns back in the day. Both of them were still in the game. They just played as each other in the game.
Oh, okay.
But so it's not out of the realm of possibility. Anytime there's a denial, there's still that little seed of doubt.
Why get the matching tattoos unless this is your intention?
Yeah, that's real weird. Do they not? Don't they have the same bank account too?
They did when they were on the Suns. I don't know if they still share it now that they're playing in two separate cities.
Right.
I was trying to think of a good segment name, by the way. If Phil Jackson just keeps coming up every week on Brick House.
You could say we never get our fill, Bob.
Yeah, okay. That's a good one.
Is it, though?
I had some equally good ones. Fill me up.
Nice.
How about straight Jackson around?
I like that. If the fill me up, we could get Casey to sing that Fill Me Up Buttercup song from, you know, a few decades ago. Well, more than like 50 years ago.
Or it could be like to the tune of Bill Withers' Use Me Up.
Nice.
Before you fill me up.
I like it.
We could do like a Daily Show tribute and call it Your Moment of the Zen Master. Huh?
Moment of Zen. Right, right.
Maybe just the Bermuda Triangle, where good players and good coaches go to
die.
To disappear. Yeah. Yeah.
The Montana Triangle.
Michelle Roberts had some words for Phil this week.
Yeah.
She told The Vertical, quote, "I think Phil was deliberately trying to shame Melo out of the city with his comments recently.
Right.
You know, saying that he would be better off winning somewhere else. The team has moved on without him. She immediately flashed back to September 2015. Markieff Morris, then with the Suns, was fined $10,000 for tweeting, quote, "My future is not in Phoenix."
Right. I remember that, yeah.
That was right after his twin brother Marcus was dealt to Detroit, right? Commissioner Adam Silver's office decided that was, quote, "a public statement detrimental to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jackson, speaking to New York Beat reporters for the first time since September, said, among other things, that Anthony would, quote, "be better off somewhere else," Roberts kept coming up with one answer when she asked herself, what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
She said, in terms of actionable speech considered detrimental to the team, there was none beyond an apparent double standard for executives and players, and more perplexing, the league's longtime habit of shrugging its figurative shoulders at the periodic behavioral transgressions committed under the Madison Square Garden circus tent pitched by its owner, James Dolan.
That's a lot of words there, Bob. I lost track about halfway through. I was going to say that the only difference I can think of is about 11 championships there. That's really the difference between Phil saying that and anybody else. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the whole complex of a circus tent in the messianic. I don't know. I forget most of all that.
But basically, it's a double standard that mm-hmm. if you're going to fine players for saying something offensive or, quote, detrimental to the NBA, you have to hold executives to the same standards.
I think that's fair.
Otherwise, you create a slippery slope, a situation where Jackson or another team executive publicly degrades veterans they want off the roster in order to make them retire. What about, you know, shaming people to accept a buyout? Or would it be appropriate to fat shame a player into losing weight?
Hasn't that happened before?
On the Miami Heat, but yeah, they don't say it to the public.
You're telling me Eddie Curry wasn't just completely fat shamed?
He truthed the process.
Yeah.
Some other stuff that came up in the news this week was that the Warriors, specifically Matt Barnes, announced that they were really rooting for the Clippers to win the series between LA and the Utah Jazz.
Yeah. Why is that, Bob?
There's no nightlife in Utah, yeah, okay. according to Matt Barnes.
Right.
Quote, no comparison. There's no such thing, man. There's no nightlife in Utah. Obviously, as players, you want to be able to have a little bit of nightlife. But the main focus is winning games.
Yeah.
I think he starts to hear himself talk, and he's like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. No. It's like him trying to jam words back into his mouth.
He went on. Me personally, I want to get out there because I want to beat the Clippers. That's my former team, and my kids are out there. Derek Fisher's out there. No, he didn't say that. But as far as nightlife, there's no comparison to nightlife in Utah and L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Ingles, the Jazz wing player.
Of course.
He had a retort for Matt Barnes. He said he'll pay for a car for the entertainment-seeking Warriors to go to Las Vegas between games.
Sure.
On Joe.
He's a good guy. He's just looking out for Matt Barnes.
Yeah, Utah didn't take kindly to these accusations, although they're pretty lame at defending themselves.
I was going to say, I can't wait to hear these defending themselves.
So Salt Lake Magazine's associate editor Christy Marcy wrote, part of me wants to let them think that we're a boring town because I like my housing prices like I like my crime rates and blood alcohol levels.
Low?
Low.
Low, yeah.
I'm not going to let these Northern California snobs besmirch the good name of my adopted city. No, sir. Not on my watch.
This was the assistant editor of what?
Salt Lake Magazine's associate editor.
Slammed.
She likes her crime rates and her blood alcohol levels low.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fun night on the town.
Yeah. I think that's actually what Matt Barnes was talking about when he said he didn't want to go to Utah for that exact reason.
It made me curious to do a little research on Salt Lake City nightlife. I went on the old Yelps. Searched. Yeah.
Have you been to Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake, I've never been.
Okay, I've been once just to watch basketball, so I didn't really experience the nightlife.
I went to Moab, which is southern Utah,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you can't buy alcohol in the grocery stores.
Right.
The liquor stores are only open from 11 a.m. to
11:30 a.m. Yeah.
But yeah, so I did some Yelp research. Searched nightlife, Salt Lake City. Let me tell you what I found.
Please do.
First of all, they're not great at naming these places. You'll see a pattern. Number one on the list was Club X.
Okay.
It averaged 4 out of 5 stars as 4 reviews on Yelp. Total, 4 reviews. Not off to a great start here,
right,
by the way.
Right.
Sometimes it's more about quality than quantity.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
I checked out the reviews.
4 right? 5-star reviews, I assume.
Yeah. 4 4 stars.
Okay, fair enough.
Brett Kay from Chicago, Illinois wrote, very cool space. There is a full bar and a full stage with a massive floor and pretty good prices on beer. The basement area is small, weird, and very neat. I came here for a special event, so I can't say how this place functions as a dance club. Even the most posh dance club would get 0 out of 5 for me simply for being a dance club. Service was good. The neighborhood, however, is sketchy as hell. Lock your cars.
Oh, no.
4 stars. So that doesn't read like a 4-star review, yeah. But I guess you had to be there.
The beer prices are okay. Lock your cars. I'm in.
It's sketchy as hell.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
Haley B. from Iowa City, Iowa. Yeah. Now, I don't know what the nightlife is like in Iowa City, but this is where she's coming from.
Yeah.
I got into Club X for free with the cost of admission to the music venue next door. We went next door at around 8:30 p.m. before things got heated up for the night.
Yeah.
We were the only ones there. It was about as clubby as I like to get. The club itself is really cool looking. The bar and a lot of other surfaces have internal lights and look really neat.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A screen at the front played patterns that reminded me of my Windows screensaver, which moved in time to the club mixes the DJ was playing. We got Windows screensavers for entertainment.
This is off the hook, Bob.
We chose to sit in the VIP section, and though Kim Kardashian never showed up, or anyone else for that matter,
yeah.
We've still felt pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
On the downside, I was grossly overcharged for alcohol. Our first round of mixed drinks cost $8. See, in Iowa City, Iowa, mixed drinks cost a quarter.
Yeah, $8 total? Or for...
I placed the exact same order for the second round, this time adding 2 shots of vodka, and was charged $22.
Whoa.
So I think it was for the entire round. It seems like a pretty good deal. To be fair, I didn't speak up. Maybe if I had, they would have happily fixed my tab. 3 stars.
3 stars. Yikes. That was considerably worse than the first one.
So number 2 place for nightlife has more reviews. They have 52 reviews on Yelp, but only 3.5 average review
stars. Oh, so they're just a...
They got more quantity, maybe
right,
not
Right, they're
more
a victim
quality.
Of their own success, basically.
A quick story about Salt Lake, because this place is called The Urban Lounge.
The Urban Lounge.
The Urban Lounge.
Okay, I think I see where this one's going, too.
My wife actually lived in Salt Lake City. She grew up there for a little bit when she was a kid. And her mom is Mexican-American and likes to tell a story about her time living there. She said she'd been there a little over a year. And got a knock on her front door, and it was just a door-to-door salesman. You know those guys that sell magazines. You
sure.
know them.
Yeah, those guys that always deliver on their magazines.
Yeah. So this guy, he's like from Somalia or something. Mm-hmm. She opens the door, sees another person who's not lily white, and just embraces the guy.
Yeah.
Gives him a hug. She'd been in Salt Lake for 18 months, hadn't seen a single brown person.
Yeah, or brownish person even.
She was very excited.
Yeah.
So let's get back to the review of the Urban Lounge here. Nicole F.
Yeah.
from Salt Lake City, homegrown, said... Great little area for small concerts and events. There's virtually no seating other than the 4 to 5 booths in the back. Mm-hmm. But other than that, nothing to complain about. The acoustics in here are great. Every time I see an awesome band, I can hear them loud and clear. 4 stars.
4 stars. Is this out of 5?
At 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
David C. from Salt Lake City had a little different take.
Yeah.
Urban Lounge? Hardly. There were 5 booths that were reserved. I assume you would pay extra for them. I expected dirty bathrooms and lots of people. I got that. The restrooms made the portable toilets at concerts seem clean and luxurious.
Oh, wow.
I'm glad my life insurance was paid up because we were packed in so tight I couldn't cross my arms. So he could have died, I guess.
Yeah.
The girl in front of me was so close that I wasn't sure if this was like a train ride in India or a prelude to a sexual experience. Acoustics and lighting were minimal considerations, it seemed. Okay, maybe it's acceptable if you're 21, going to school, and living in your friend's pantry. I'm older than that and would gladly pay for a more comfortable experience. I didn't feel like I was in an urban lounge. To me, it was more like a rave in an abandoned building. 1 star.
Oh, wow. What's his name?
His name is David C.
David C.
David C. did not enjoy the urban lounge.
That's like the diss of the year here on Brick House.
He got dirty bathrooms. Yeah. He expected them, and he got them. So let's just look at the names on the rest of the top 10 here on Yelp. The next one, Area 51.
Classic.
Kevin Garnett's not there.
No.
Duvon's Caramba. The next one. I didn't even click to open that one. Matt Barnes is not interested.
Duvon's Corona.
The next place is called Elevate.
Sure. Which, one name, I mean, classic club.
Yeah.
Classic club name.
Not great reviews, though. Number six on the list is called Below. Mm-hmm. And they have one review, one star.
Yikes.
It's number six for best place for a nightlife in Salt Lake City. Yeah. The next place, Liquid Joe's.
Okay.
Infinity Event Center. Which I don't know, like, in sponsored by Infinity Cars.
Yeah, it sounds like a civic center, like a conference place.
They do have an adult nightclub called Southern Exposure.
Okay.
Pretty bad reviews on that one. It's a family program, so I'll let people research that one themselves. The last place in the top 10, the Moose Lounge.
Sounds nice. Sounds lovely.
Yeah. Again,
do these have any reviews?
They all have reviews, but not Matt Barnes quality.
Yeah.
If he's not going to Urban Lounge or Club X, the top two places in Salt Lake City, I don't think he's checking out number 10 Moose Lounge.
Right, that is true.
Oh, we are going to get into our calling of Jason Burton here. All right, so we have head coach of the Texas A&M Commerce women's basketball team on the phone, Jason Burton. Hi, Jason.
How you doing?
Doing great, man. So, you know, just for Brick House listeners, Jason and I were basketball teammates many lifetimes ago in the sixth grade AAU Houston basketball circuit. What was the name of that team, Jason? Do you remember?
We're the Rim Shakers, and none of us could touch the rim.
Yeah, we did get a lot of trash talk because of that,
Jason. Just give a little insight into Bob's basketball playing ability for our listeners, if you can remember. He talks a lot of trash on the court now. Was he as good as he says he was, or did he ride the bench? What was the deal?
Bob was pretty good, but Bob was like a senior. Like, he had a senior body in the sixth grade. Like, he was just strong for no reason. And just played super hard, so nobody wanted to guard him. He was super sway, too. He's that one guy on the floor that you don't want to guard, but you want him on your team.
So he hasn't grown in 20 years, is what you're saying.
I don't know. I actually haven't seen him in about 20 years, but I definitely like playing with him, though.
That is true, yes. Being sweaty was my superpower on the basketball court. I had the move called the Slimer, like a spin move where the defender just runs away from you. But everybody else hit puberty, and you're right, Jason. I really peaked back then in about sixth grade when I was, you know, bigger than everybody, but everyone caught up to me really fast. And my basketball playing career really didn't hit any higher marks after that. But, you know, I was looking you up and wanted to see if I could track you down, because I assumed, or I was just guessing, that, you know what, I bet this guy might have pursued a career in basketball. And sure enough, I find you on Twitter, and you're the head coach of a college team. So
and what's funny is, so my brother was the head coach of the Rim Shakers, and he's the one that got me started. He's actually a college coach as well. He coaches Don Lamar University, Division I school down in Beaumont, Texas. And he actually recruited Jonathan Simmons, who's having a really good year in the playoffs. But he kind of opened the door for me as far as coaching, and I've been coaching ever since I graduated college.
Wow. So, that was one of my questions. You know, when we were playing together or in high school, did you think, like, that you might – want to pursue coaching? Was there stuff that, the way you watched the basketball game or understood basketball then, have you translated that to your job now?
No, I thought I wanted to make money and actually have a career where you got paid for a living, but instead I chose to coach basketball. I went to college, man, and wanted to do sports medicine and got to college and realized real quick I don't like biology or chemistry or nothing like that, and so I better find another career. And
you just like sports?
In college, me and my brother had an AAU team, and that's kind of how we got it started. You know, he was coaching way back when in high school, and we kept that going and had an AAU team in Dallas, and that kind of translated to me just, you know, developing a passion for coaching and led to me eventually coaching in college.
Wow. Could you tell us a little bit how you ended up, you know, what steps you took to being the head coach now at Texas A&M Commerce?
In college, I told you I had the AAU team, and when I was going into my senior year in college, the head men's coach at Texas A&M Commerce offered my brother a GA spot, a grad assistant job, and he turned it down, told me to look at me. I came down, met him, worked a couple camps for him. One thing led to another, and I was assistant coach right out of college. And so I spent majority of my career on the men's side. I was here for 4 years on the men's side. I was at Texas State University on the men's side for a few years. Coached high school, and then this women's job came open. Never thought I'd be coaching women, but, you know, having the opportunity to coach and be a head college coach at I think, age 28, I really couldn't pass that up, and been doing that for the last 3 years. It's really been a blessing, man. It's just the opportunity to turn a program around and be a head coach at this level, man. It's opened a lot of doors for me, man. Really, it's actually really been good coaching on this side, and I've gained a different perspective of women's basketball, and thinking about 20 more years at least of doing this on the women's side. So I had an opportunity this year to actually switch back and be a men's head coach and turn it down. So we're going to see where this thing goes, and I still have my brother on the men's side and still get my NBA fix. So have that opportunity, but it's been really good. It's been a blessing to be able to coach basketball at this level.
The year before you took over, I think the team had a losing record, right? And you were 20-9 this past season, so you've come a long way. You've shown some good results for that team.
The program won like 26 games in 5 years before I got the job, and I've just been blessed. I had a good staff since I've been here, man, and you know, fortunate that my mentor that kind of got me into the business was right across the gym from me, and so you know, he definitely helped me in my transition, Sam Walker, and then. Yeah, he stepped down this year, and that was an opportunity that I had probably to switch back to the men's side. But just like you said, taking up a program and really kind of reestablishing this program and making it relevant again, it was hard to walk away from that when, you know, we've had the best year we've had, or second best year we've had in school history. So, you know, excited to keep building this thing and keep doing big things. And I think culture is a huge part in success in any sport. And you look at the San Antonio Spurs and kind of what they've done, and you know, Kawhi Leonard, when he came in the league, was a no-name, but that culture that they have down there is just, I mean, they win. They win year in and year out, and people don't like watching San Antonio play, but they just get it done. It doesn't matter who's on their roster, they find ways to win. I think you look at the New England Patriots, and when Tom Brady wasn't the quarterback, and they're still winning, people that have winning cultures find a way to win, and so that was definitely a big part of it. And then the second thing was just players, man. You got to have players on any level to win games, and we were fortunate to recruit some really good players. We've had the freshman of the year in the conference two of the last 3 years that I've been head coach, and so, you know, we've just been fortunate to really been able to bring in some quality players to our program that have helped out tremendously. Being in Division II, we have a wide course because, I mean, the transfers nowadays are so rampant. You can get a Division I transfer if you're patient, and so this year we've already signed one Division I transfer. We've been fortunate to get some quality high school kids. Just being in the state of Texas, there's so many so many good players around here. If you're patient and you do your work, you'll be able to find some. And so, like I said, we've had two freshmen that have been really good the last 3 years, and some other ones that didn't get freshman of the year, but have kind of turned this program around. But it's definitely about relationships and networking, man. I'll tell you that. And just, you know, being at this school, being at a Division II school, I've had a transfer from NC State and the ACC, a transfer from Texas Tech and the Big 12, you name it. And so, you know, that's the one advantage that we have over Division I, that, you know, if you transfer Division I, Division I, you have to sit out. But if you transfer from Division I to a Division II, you don't. And so that's definitely a selling tool we have right now.
I saw you got your master's in business. This is like a standard interview question, right? And I was just curious how you go about it, right? So if you have a space on your roster for one player, but you have two equally talented players that you have to choose from, what characteristics are you looking at to be the tiebreaker between those equally qualified players?
First is probably going to be how many years of experience. I mean, how many years do they have to play? You know, if you got somebody equal talent, everything's equal, do I get a kid for 1 year? Do I get him for three? Mm-hmm. You know, how many years do I get to spend with that kid? And then, you know, of course you got to look at the characters, how they that personality fit with the culture? Because that's probably the biggest thing that we've done in our first 3 years here is establish a culture and establish a kind of identity within our players. And so you still want talent, but you want talent that's going to fit in with what you've got going on. And so what's going to be the best fit as far as personality with what we got going? But me, honestly, I'm going to try to find a way to get them both. We're going to find a way. We're going to wheel and deal and find a way to make it work where we can get them both on the roster.
Yeah, I like it.
Is there any difference between coaching men and women?
How long you got? You know, the main thing for me is I fell in love with mentoring and helping young people get to the next level, whatever the next level for them is. But I think, you know, the obvious difference is athleticism. You know, the men's game is so much above the rim. You can talk all you want about the shooting and all that, but you got to have people that can play above the rim, and so that's the biggest thing as far as athleticism. The women's game is a lot more execution. You still got people that are making and creating plays one-on-one, but there's a lot more focused on the one-on-one game on the men's side. The women's side is a lot of execution and being able to play within the system.
So when you had that opportunity to go back and coach the men's, what made you stay with the women's team?
We took over a program that hadn't really won. And now to kind of see the culture change here and to see the community kind of get behind our program and we're on the cusp of, I think, winning at a major level. You know, our conference is one of the best conferences in the country. And, you know, we had two teams in the Sweet 16. One team made it to the Elite Eight, and we beat both those teams. And so we're right there as far as being a national power. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that kept me on this side is the ability to continue to grow this thing. And then, you know, of course, you develop the relationships, and I think one of the toughest things would be to take a job that just these young ladies are looking forward to what we have next year, and to see me walk away just to go to the men's side, I don't think that was right for them. To me, the timing wasn't right, and we still got unfinished business to do.
That's awesome. Did you watch Mississippi State play UConn this year in the tournament?
I was there.
You were there?
Wow.
It was crazy. I mean, it felt like a home game for Mississippi State, which is crazy because UConn is such a powerhouse.
Yeah.
But I guess being in the South, being in Dallas, Texas, there was a huge Mississippi State backing there, and incredible game. I thought it was one of the best college basketball games, men or women, that I saw this year.
Even watching the end, I got chills just watching the end because it was such a big, even for people who don't follow the women's game, it's such a big thing to see this Titan go down in such dramatic fashion that you couldn't help but get caught up in the moment. I'm sure being there, everyone was just flipping out.
I'm a Clippers fan, and I was at a bar watching some NBA game, but Mississippi State came on. People in L.A. don't even root for the Clippers, and the bar was going crazy for the Mississippi State women's team, you know?
And the point guard for Mississippi State was just a story. I mean, she had a career game versus Baylor that Monday before, and they beat Baylor to go to the Final Four, and she had like 41 points, something crazy like that, and she's 5'0", and then, you know, how she took over the game versus UConn and hit the game-winning shot, that was special too. Just kind of follow that player and follow that player's story. Yeah. If you don't want to watch women's basketball, or you don't know anything about her, I think that's something incredible to go back and watch, because that was something that I thought, just being a basketball fan, that game right there was an incredible game, and it definitely I thought advanced the women's game, because that was an exciting game to watch if you're just a pure basketball fan. If you never watched a women's basketball game before, that game will get you excited about women's basketball.
On Brickhouse, we're talking mostly NBA most of the time. I mean, we love all basketball. I assume you're watching some of these NBA games?
Have to, man. You have to.
So do you have
LeBron James, the best player in the world right now.
LeBron James, yeah, of course.
What the f*** has anything got to do with LeBron James?
Do you have a rooting interest? Are you a Rockets fan, a Mavericks fan? You know, we grew up in Houston, but he moved to Dallas, was in like seventh grade. Who's your team?
You have to be a fan of the team that you're in. So, of course, I love watching growing up. I actually started in Detroit when Motor City was going on. They had Isaiah Thomas, and so when I was young, I was there when they won. I went to Houston. They won with Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler and those guys, and then I've been in Dallas and got a chance to see Dirk getting one for the city. And so I've been a Dallas fan ever since I've been in Dallas. But of course, you know, I've been a LeBron James fan since he entered the league. So I tend to root for whatever team he's on, and I just think we're witnessing one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player, to play the game. And so it's hard not to root for him and watch his game.
He's a pretty good general manager too, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Hey, I said that last year. He should have got GM of the year.
Are there any NBA coaches who you get ideas from, or who are running some really interesting stuff that you you study for your job?
I watch the Boston Celtics a lot.
Okay.
I think they have a lot of just good sets. Like if you watch what he does, and he was a college coach too. But sure. If you watch his execution out of timeouts, and he seems to always, I mean, he's got the smallest player in the NBA, and he finds ways to get them buckets and anything. You know, so what they run for him and what they run for that team, I just think they execute at a very high level. And I don't think Brad Stevens gets the recognition that he deserves, but he's one of the best. And of course I watch Pop. I mean, Pop is the best coach out there doing it right now. And how they move the ball, how they play team defense, how they spread the floor. And I think he does more with less. I watch those two coaches at a high level. It's going to be interesting to see that matchup, the Spurs versus Golden State, with probably, you know, Kawhi Leonard getting a significant amount of time at the point guard spot.
Wow, the Rockets have already lost this series, huh? That's pretty
They're
bad.
Out. They're out. I can't do it, man. Can't do it.
Is there any NBA coach that you watch and you're thinking to yourself, how the hell did this guy get this job? Is there any NBA?
There's some coaches that I wonder how they still have a job and how they still circulate.
Uh-huh.
That's the one thing I don't like about the NBA sometimes, is you see somebody that has a losing record for one team, and then he gets another job somewhere else and still has a losing record, and you still see him on NBA sidelines. I'm like, when you got these younger coaches that are coming up and they're doing things differently, and the Brad Stevens of the world are getting opportunities, they've had success. And so I'm not a proponent of, you know, coaches getting fired. I'm being a coach myself, so I won't go that far. But I definitely think we need to keep allowing new and younger coaches to get opportunities to coach.
Did you make a prediction for who's winning the finals this year?
Cleveland in six.
You heard it here first.
I think they'll get one of the first two on the road. They'll win two in Cleveland, and then they'll win game six in Cleveland. I'm giving you exactly the games I think they're going to win.
Yeah. This is a little non-basketball question, but do you watch much TV besides basketball? Got any like favorite TV shows?
I'm a DVR guy, man. I have a lot. I'm a big Walking Dead guy. I don't know if you guys watch that.
Walking Dead, uh-huh.
Walking Dead. I got a show probably every night of the week. 24 Legacy. I don't know if you used to watch 24 with Jack Bauer, but they got the new 24 that's on TV. Prison Break is back. I love Prison Break in college, and now it's back on TV. So watching that, I got a couple shows I'm not going to put out there, but I have to watch them with my wife.
This Is Us. I cry every episode of This Is Us too, man. You can admit it.
Nah, that's not one of them, but I have a Scandal and stuff like that I got to watch, man. So. Yeah, I'm a big DVR guy. No, because I normally not home when shows come on, but 10 o'clock, 10:30 is when I get my fix of something non-basketball. What do you guys watch?
I love Game of Thrones. We have a running joke on Brickhouse because I watch Game of Thrones, but Matt Baker doesn't. So I'm always like comparing NBA players to characters from that show. And
yeah, and I just have to sit here and agree because I don't know what's going on.
I'm with you, Matt. I haven't gotten a Game of Thrones.
Great. If I ever have to miss an episode, you can just call in and guest host and you won't skip a beat, basically.
You know, I saw one of our Rimshaker teammates was on a reality show about 10 years ago. Tyler Hoffmeister. You remember him?
Tyler Hoffmeister. Yeah. What show was he on? It was like...
It was called Night School. And it was this reality show where
with Bobby Knight.
Yeah. All these players are competing to be a walk-on at Texas Tech. Yeah. And he actually ended up winning the show.
He probably hated his life after that.
Yeah, he won the show. I actually caught him in a game one time. I just turned it on randomly, and I knew or had heard from my dad that he had won the show, and and made it onto the team. And he played, it was like a blowout. I can't remember if they were winning or losing, but it's like a 40-point game. He had the ball, and the announcer said he looked like a young James Taylor.
Nice.
I mean, he did look like he was like, I don't know, 32 when he was in high school. So,
yeah.
You know, kind of had that going for him.
You know, as we established, my basketball playing career really peaked in my sweaty spin move in the sixth grade. And since then, you know, I've been recently trying to get back into basketball. We got this radio show now. And, you know, we have people like yourself who are way more qualified to actually talk about the X's and O's of basketball. You understand it on a level that, you know, is way beyond me. But I'm trying to add value to the basketball community, right? You know that term from business school, I bet, right? So
yeah, add value.
I've always been more of the screw up, or like, you know, the joker. I'm the class clown sort of guy, right?
That's you.
Yeah. So Matt Baker and I, we were hoping that we could pitch you on some show ideas. We're thinking about pitching the NBA and Adam Silver on some spin-off shows. You know, like, there's a spin-off show for The Walking Dead, right? There's a new
Fear the Walking Dead.
Fear the
yeah.
Walking Dead. That's a spin-off show.
Right.
So they take something that's established, that's successful, has a built-in audience, and you create a spin-off. So, you know, you can feel free to tell us how terrible or okay these pitches are, but would you be willing to be a TV executive for the next few minutes?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Let me pitch you a first one here. Okay. So this is like a Fast and Furious type show. It's starring DeMarcus Cousins and Jimmer Fredette. All right. Have you seen Fast and Furious?
I've seen it, yeah.
So Cousins is like the Dom Toretto character. So despite his tough exterior, he really just cares about his family and he's living life a quarter mile at a time.
Right.
Right. Jimmer Fredette, he's the young cop. He's tasked with infiltrating Cousins' world. And that's when Jimmer learns that some things are more important than regards for traffic laws or pedestrian safety. Would you watch this show?
I think you gotta get somebody else besides Fredette. I like Cousins. I like Boogie Cousins in that. But you need like a J.J. Redick or somebody like that. I'm leaning for Gordon Hayward.
Hayward. Okay. A more likable guy.
I like it.
Matt, you got one?
Yeah, I have one. It's a reality show. It's called The Backup Center Lorette. Kind of like The Bachelorette, but Backup Center Lorette. Or Backup Center, yeah. It's hard to say. But it's seven lucky teams get a chance to win over the heart of a free agent backup center for the rights to give him $17 million a year. Now, this is like a backup center that averaged 3 points and three rebounds. But at the end, one of these lucky teams, after challenges, quests, and the ability to prove their love to this center on a one-on-one date, they will give him the $17 million a year rose at the end. Would you watch that?
If JaVale McGee is on the show, I'd probably watch it.
Yeah.
I'm watching it straight for the comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, some backup center is going to get that $17 million a year contract, so we might as well make a reality show out of it.
Can we bring back people? Like, can we get Greg Oden in the mix? Can we get, like,
some
guys? Can we bring back Sean Bradley in this thing?
Sean Bradley, yeah. Just to get dunked on?
I like that, because we'll have them in that house situation, so maybe they can be the people lounging around the house. I like it.
All right, you know Gordon Ramsay, he does the like the cooking show Hell's Kitchen, Kitchen Nightmares.
Yeah,
he did a spin-off one called Hotel Hell. This is the Sacramento Kings is Gordon Ramsay's latest project, and we'll call it Basketball Nightmares from Hell. So who cares if Gordon doesn't know anything about basketball? He just shows up like as the hotel business. He knows shit when he sees it. So the Kings are looking to draft some like Polish power forward who's ranked like 700th in the world with the 8th pick in the draft this year. Not on Gordon Ramsay's watch, they aren't.
Yeah.
That show would at least draw some interest, though. That would draw some interest in Sacramento, because I couldn't tell you the starting five of the Kings, and I'm a basketball coach. I mean, I could tell you Boogie Cousins, but he left, so who's on the team now? I don't know. You guys are from California, can you tell me?
They got Willie Cauley-Stein.
Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield.
Darren Collison. Anthony Tolliver, is he around there? You're right.
That's pretty bad.
Costa Kufis.
Yeah, you had three. You're struggling.
Costa Kufis, right?
Kufis is in there.
Yeah. You said you're a LeBron James fan. We can all agree that probably LeBron, he's made a ton of great decisions, so arguably his worst decision was the decision. Am I right? Since he's such a smart businessman, he can't have any negativity floating out there, so he has to reclaim the decision with his own show, where he goes around and helps people with their decisions.
Oh.
But also, because he wants to reclaim putting it on TV, he puts their decisions on TV. So, say for instance, if Bob has to, and it can be any type of thing, so if Bob has to find an anniversary gift for his wife, maybe LeBron comes and helps Bob with this decision. So it's not only what basketball team you go to, it's everyday Americans facing everyday struggles.
I like it.
I think the pilot episode should be with LeVar Ball.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. I would 100% watch that.
I think we're on to something. Can I be an executive producer for a couple episodes?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
You're hired.
Just a couple.
My wife helped me out with this one, Jason. She actually works in a TV production office here in LA, and she's a big Harry Potter fan. But her pitch for a show idea was just putting Matt Barnes in different situations that, you know, he would really not be suited for. Imagine Matt Barnes in a Harry Potter world. Only nobody tells Matt Barnes he's in Harry Potter world. It's just like kind of like a reality show where he has to figure it out for himself. And he's freaking out with the stuff going on around him, right? Forget about when he starts to discover that he too has magical powers. These wizards, I don't know if you know Harry Potter, they deliver mail by an owl knocking on the window with its beak. You're an owl and you sneak up on Matt Barnes. That owl is dead. You thought watching Harry grow into his abilities was engaging. Get ready to be blown away by Matt Barnes, wizard in training.
Matt Barnes, I don't know about Matt Barnes as a lead role. You got to have some other characters with him. Like, you got to have Draymond Green on the show. He's got to be something.
Like a buddy cop movie type feel to it, where there's two guys playing off each other.
This is why we had you on, man. We need a real basketball mind to analyze these.
Matt Barnes is a sidekick. He's a specialist. You know, he's a shooter defender. That's about it. He can be a part of the show, but you got to have somebody carrying him.
That's good insight.
Very good.
We've never had a head coach on the program, and that's why we need a head coach who brings it all together. We're just a bunch of gunners out there shooting from half court, and we need someone to give us structure. So that's very good.
Hey, it works for the Rockets.
Yeah.
So if you're an executive, Jason, and you had to green light one of those projects, what do you like? What's number one on that list there?
I'm going with the decision. I like that one.
Nice. Oh, thank you.
I like that.
Wow. All right. We don't want to keep you forever, but I want to pivot back to your coaching job. What are your hopes for next season? Do you set goals for your team each year? How do you handle that?
Yeah, I mean, we're still trying to sign a couple more. But, you know, right now we bring back a really strong core. We bring back four all-conference players. And so I think we're going to be one of the more seasoned teams in our league. And so, you know, that's definitely we won 20 games this year, and to keep building on that. You know, we definitely want to get rings this year and make a run in the NCAA tournament. I think we got the experience and our roster to do that. So, you know, far from injury, that was one of the things that hurt us this year. We had two ACL tears to starters that,
yikes,
you know, ended their season this year. And so if you can stay healthy, I like our chances for next year.
Well, we're going to be rooting for you, man. Is there anything you want to plug? I know you can follow Jason Burton on Twitter at Coach J Burton. And if you're in Northeast Texas, make sure and check out the Lions of Texas A&M Commerce this fall.
We literally have dozens of listeners to this thing, so you know you're going to get a big reaction to this. We have at least 36 listeners.
My mom listens.
Yeah.
I'm all about, so if one of those 36 listeners see a player out there in California or wherever they're at, and they're looking for a home, don't send me any trash, but I'm all about it. We always need players.
I love it.
Well, we will do. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Yeah, great, this was great.
Great to catch up with you after 20 years. Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad we weren't in person, so you don't have to kill me in a shooting contest or something.
Yeah. I appreciate it, man. I had a good time, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, thanks so much, man. Have a good weekend, and good luck recruiting this summer.
All right, thanks.
That was an awesome interview with Jason Burton. No Brickhouse would be complete, though, without telling our listeners about our sponsors, Matt.
Who's our sponsor?
Our sponsor this week is Draft.
Oh, wow.
We already know you love fantasy, so we know you'll love playing on Draft. Draft is a simple daily fantasy app where you can do snake drafts just like the one you do at the beginning of your season-long league. You can do drafts whenever you want. They last for just one day, and they take only minutes to complete. On Draft, it's draft day every day.
Oh.
On Draft, you can play for free, or better yet, play for money. And get this, your chances of winning on Draft are almost three times better than your chances of winning on FanDuel or DraftKings.
I love it.
I just did a 10-person draft before the show and got Kawhi Leonard with my fourth pick, and I'll be doing another one after the show as well. Join me. Download Draft now. Just search Draft in the App Store, and it will come up first. Be sure to enter promo code ABPN when you download, and you will get a 100% bonus, up to $600 when you deposit.
Solid.
Again, search Draft in the App Store. Be sure to enter promo code ABPN. Let's get into our diss of the week, Matt.
Yo mama is so fat!
This week's diss of the week has no competition. There's only one.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from the Washington-Boston Celtics series. John Wall is responsible. The diss was in question. Let's break it down. We'll ask ourselves, what's more likely? Did he say this or not?
Sure.
So at first glance, John Wall is taking a free throw.
Right.
In game three, it was a blowout Wizards win over the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
He points over to players on his right who are standing there for the rebound.
Sure.
It's Jonas Jerebko and Otto Porter. He points to the right side before shooting the free throw and says, "This is for you, ho."
Right.
At which point he sinks the free throw. People asked him the game, "Did you call Jonas Jerebko a hoe?" Mm-hmm. And then make a free throw in his honor?
Yeah.
He said, "This is for you, oh. I was talking to Otto Porter. I call him oh."
Okay. Yeah, I saw this. I watched it, and I don't know. I don't know where to fall on this, because it was a little too quick for me to make it out completely. But John Wall is a little salty.
He's very salty.
Yeah. So
it's called people a lot worse than ho in the past couple days.
Right. So I would think he'd do that, but also maybe just wanted to shout out Otto Porter at a random time in a playoff game. So
he's just dedicating this free throw to his teammate? Who's ever done that before?
What was the score at that point? It was out of reach.
They
were
up by like 30.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jonas Jerebko had already been a part of a double technical fight between him and Jan Mahimi.
Mm-hmm.
And he had just entered the game a few minutes earlier. Anyways, I'm pretty sure he said ho.
Right.
On the next episode of Brickhouse.
Well, I just wanted to give a special thanks to, again, having Jason Burton come on the show. I thought the interview went really well. You can tweet Jason again at Coach J Burton. Tell him thanks for coming on the show. Tweet us at Brickhouse Pod. Subscribe to our show on iTunes or catch us on the Almighty Baller Station on Dash Radio on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 1 Central, and again at 6 Pacific, 8 Central. And we'll be back next week with the next episode of Brickhouse. Joel Embiid plays a bartender.
Nice.
He only serves Shirley Temples.
Yeah, of course.
And he talks to people about turning their alcoholism into a profitable social media personality.
He's a man of the people. He wants to help. He wants to help the people, Bob.
He's like the prophet, but not for businesses, but for drunks.
Sure.
It's Cheers for Millennials, because getting blind drunk just isn't cool as it was in the 80s.
Of course not. No, you have to be classy with your Shirley Temples. Shirley Temples don't have alcohol in them, right?
No,
or do they?
That's, yeah.
They do now, Bob.
Okay.
No, I don't know. Maybe this is the Joel Embiid hour here, because I have the late night Joel Embiid show. Brought to you by Shirley Temple, of course.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a variety show. What tweets will he have at the president? What tweets will he have at other NBA players? What sketch shows? We can get Blake Griffin to come on. It's great. It's just a straightforward variety hour. Who wouldn't want to watch? And it sets him up nicely for his impending second career that's coming all too quick, unfortunately.
Oh,
so,
dark yeah. turn. Yeah, The Prophet is one of my favorite shows on TV. You know, it's this guy who he's a business investor, and he goes and evaluates businesses with problems.
Oh, The Prophet.
The Prophet,
with an F-I-T on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a play on words.
I got you.
He then decides if he's going to invest in these businesses and help them turn them around or walk away.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So could we have one that is the basketball version with Sam Hinkie?
Yeah.
If you finish with one of the five worst records in the NBA, you get a visit from the Hank Man. This could have unintentional comedy and end up being more like Nathan For You, because Sam Hinkie's ideas are so extreme.
Dumb, you know? Starbucks. I like it.
So you want to attract free agents and make sure your players don't get in trouble out on the town? Why not build a strip club inside your practice facility?
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's the Hinkmeister thinking
right.
for you.
That way they don't ever leave.
Timofey Mozgov gets paid too much. Why not make him clean the toilets? Pick up Nick Young's dry cleaning and stuff till he quits the team. There's no box big enough to stop Sam Hinkie from thinking outside of it.
I like that as the you'll see on the signs, basically.
That's the billboard?
Of course, since we think alike, I had a Sam Hinkie one. It's
of
the
course.
Sam Hinkie game show. Straightforward game show, Bob. Trivia like Jeopardy. Challenges like Double Dare. You remember Double Dare, the Nickelodeon show? Both one twist. Contestants have to decide if the challenge they are participating in is a challenge worth winning or a challenge worth tanking, Bob.
Nice.
That's a whole new twist, because it might be to your benefit in the long run of the game to lose this mini game. But you can decide that.
Wow.
My last one. Remember Joe Millionaire about a decade ago?
I love that show.
Good-looking guy who looked like he'd be a millionaire, but actually he was apparently dirt
broke. Construction worker.
Yeah. So this is Joe Millionaire, but with a foreign player.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I haven't worked out the name yet, but it's
Georgios Millionaire.
Yeah, right. So it's someone from Europe, man from Europe, who looks like he would be good at basketball, and you don't ever see him playing basketball. He just looks good at basketball. And you have GMs who go down to this house where they try and court him to draft him, obviously, in the second round, as we've established. You don't ever see him playing basketball, but he looks the part. And, of course, if you look the part, they're going to scramble to get you.
Nice.
So,